Go to Genesis, first book of the Bible, if you would, please. The book of Genesis. The book of Genesis. And I'd like you to turn in Genesis to chapter 26. Last week, we spoke about the river of God. And in essence, what we're going to be doing is speaking about the river of God today, part two, and we'll conclude this small series or short series next week with part three. But this morning, I want you to say after me, dig your wells. Dig your wells. I asked the worship team this morning, how many remember the 60s? Yeah, that's a challenge enough. How many remember the 60s? But when the clarion call from Lathan and other places, Sammy Davis Jr. and others would say, I can dig it. Anybody remember that?
Yeah,
a few of you are looking at me like, you're crazy. Well, I already proved that, but say that with me, would you? I can dig it. Turn to each other and say, I can dig it. All right, this is part two today. Jump into the river, dig your wells. I shared a lot of scripture last week. You can find it online about wells, water, running rivers, all about, from the scriptures, the Spirit of God that proceeds out of the throne of the Lord. And that river that brings life and healing. How many sense the river of God flowing this morning? God wants to touch and move and heal. In fact, the scripture says where that river goes, everywhere it goes, there's life. How many want life in the Lord? I want His life and His presence. We need the river. We need the water of life today. You know, we can't live without water, right? You can't live without it. Today, what I want to do is follow how Isaac followed the leading of God for the blessing of God in his life, and how intimately his life was entwined with the wells of God. Genesis chapter 26, verses 1 through 6. Interesting stuff this morning. And just Genesis 26, 1 through 6. Now there was a famine in the land. You all there? There was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. Abraham, of course, Isaac's father. And Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Can you say it with me? Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land. I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants, I give all these lands. Say that with me. I give all these lands. And I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham, your father. And I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to your descendants all these lands. Say that with me. I will give to your descendants all these lands. And in your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. So Isaac dwelt in Gerar. All right. Every generation needs God. Say that with me, would you please? If you can, there we go. Every generation needs God. Now, this event that we're seeing right here in this section of Scripture happened about 90 years after Abraham, his father, first dwelt in Gerar. This is actually the second famine in the land. Abraham had gone into Egypt, and the Lord specifically instructed Isaac, don't go to Egypt. To go there, if you'll stay in the land, you'll be blessed. And God does bless him. And he repeats the gift of the land to Israel and the covenant blessing. Abraham, Isaac, and who?
Jacob.
And so the covenant blessing is to them. And so he declares, all the nations of the earth will be blessed through you. God has not altered that title deed. When the Bible tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, He is still intending for Jerusalem to have the peace and presence of God. It's still His kids. Now, notice, I'm going to show you a few maps, a few overheads here, because what we're talking about is a land very much in the news today. Where's the battle just recently been taking place? In Gaza. This incident, where Abraham went and where Isaac went, is exactly in the same spot many thousands of years ago. So I want you to see several places here this morning. We're going to be talking next week about the wells that Isaac dug. And we're right here. Here's where Gerar. We'll see it in different maps. And so you've got Esek, and you've got Sinah, and Hebron. You see where we are in proportion to the Dead Sea and Bathsheba, and he keeps moving down here. These are places where he's dwelling now, and then this was where he dug a well. He dug a well here, and he dug a well here, and everybody contended with him over these wells. And this one right here, it says, they no longer contended with him. And so he concluded, this is where the Lord wanted him to dwell with his family. And then he also moved on to Beersheba. Let's go to the next map, if we would, please, Pat. Go ahead, Vernon, shut out one of the first. Well, maybe I can get this one right here. Let's see. No, that won't help. If you'll turn out one of the banks with lights, that'd be great. Okay, I'll do it. Thank you. All right, so another map that shows where Judea was. When the 12 tribes went into Israel, this was a section that was given to Judah. And you have Hebron, a place of fellowship, and Gaza, and Gerar. You see them in different locations, but Gaza. And right in this location in here is where the Gaza Strip is. So if we'll go to the next map, please, Pat. I've got about 5, 6, 7, 14. So if you lift that up a little bit, you see Philistia, the Philistines. Remember? The Philistines are along here. Interestingly enough, if you check your history, Philistines, many of them who populated this land, came from the island of Crete and from other places like this. But Gerar, again, this is where we're talking, Gerar, and then Beersheba and Hebron. So you get a perspective of where these places are. Yes, please. All right, so here is a more current map. You have Tel Aviv up here, and when it's talking about the West Bank guys, they're talking about giving all of this area, people wanting to demand that from Israel, which leaves them about an 8 to 10 mile strip to try to protect all along these borders. And God gave all of this land to them according to the scripture. Do you see why it's some measure of concern and conflict to them? Thousands of missiles and rockets are going in to try to kill them every day. They didn't start that action. And so they're defending themselves now. I don't defend innocents being killed, but you also recognize, please, that Hamas puts their innocents, children and wives and women, in places where they keep their missiles. And they do it on purpose. All right, so we go on. Down here is where the Gaza Strip is. I'm not going into politics this morning. I just want you to see proportionally where everything is. All right, so again, here's a more current one. You have Nazareth up here, and you have Lebanon, the Golan Heights. You've heard about that often. Jordan River Valley, Jordan River. The Dead Sea is down here. Here's where Jerusalem is. Gaza City, Ramallah. You've heard about all of these places. Tel Aviv and the Gaza Strip right in here. All right, Beersheba. And this is the area where we're speaking of that Isaac was digging wells, actually his dad's wells, and living. All right. Maybe do these help at all?
Yeah.
Okay, so you have again Tiberias, which is a beautiful city, Haifa and Nazareth. You have Joppa and Tel Aviv. Joppa, where Jonah went, is right around here by Tel Aviv. And Jerusalem's over here, Gaza City, and Beersheba, which is Beersheba now, but Beersheba back then. Okay, and one. Is it one more? Yeah, here we go. Now what I want you to get is a perspective of these huge lands all around Israel. And here's Israel. And they want to absolutely wipe them out because, after all, they're the largest neighbor on the block. Right?
Yeah.
Is anybody breathing?
Yep.
Okay, that's perspective. All right, we'll go on. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, Vernon. All right, so every generation needs God. So what's happening in the land? Let's go quickly on. There's a famine here. On a fairly regular basis, nations had famine and drought. How many know in the southwest part of our nation, there is a severe drought in our own country? And so these things would happen. They happen in Africa. These people were nomadic, and they had to have water wherever they went. Water is crucial to life. Somebody say that with me. Water is crucial to life. Without water, we die. In our lives, church, as Christians, without the water, the river of God, and the water of the Holy Spirit, we die. Without the water of life in Jesus, we die. We need His Spirit. We need Him as much as our next vital breath. One of the definitions of the word man means upward-looking creature. And man was born and birthed and fashioned and created with a God-shaped vacuum inside. That's why men and women rush to try to fill the longings of their life with all sorts of things, activities and religions and boats and provisions and houses and everything else. Anybody in this room ever try to find your satisfaction in other things other than Jesus? Come on, if you're honest with me, we can admit that, yeah? And did it help when you got there? No. Same old problem that I had was me, and so I took that to the new issue. I can get the best boat in the world, and all of a sudden, you know what they call boats, right? A hole into which you throw... Yeah. So not very satisfactory all the time. So there's lots of things that we try to satisfy ourselves with, but every generation needs God. The famine drove a need in Isaac. And that need that happens in our lives, we're terrified of. Aren't we? Sometimes we're terrified of the needs in our life. Conflict comes up in our life, in our family, or conflict on the job, or whatever it is. And we hate that, don't we? Come on, don't be religious with me this morning. Somebody say, yeah, I hate it too. You've been there with me. You know what that's like? Man, sometimes it's just so frustrating. And you go, wonder if God's trying to say something to me, if I let Him. Yeah, I had a time, you guys, I know you can't imagine this, but I had a time where I was just so frustrated and I just kept blowing it. I just blowing it. Relationships with people, this was ages ago because it doesn't happen anymore. Anyway, I was just frustrated to beat the band, and I remember saying to the Lord, if this happens once more, and I could just see the Lord kind of bending over in heaven going, yes, dear, what was that? Once more, and what? And bam, 5 minutes later, totally messed up again. And you know what I did? I started to laugh. Not that I offended somebody, I asked their forgiveness. You know, I'm the guy, it was written for in the scripture, forgive him 70 times 7. Okay? But what I did is I stopped long enough to say, you know, who am I to give an ultimatum to the Lord? He's working on me. Is He still working on you? Remember that old song? He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. Remember that? Some of you are looking like, he's crazy. Well, that's just confirming. Anyway, so every generation needs God. And so if we'll allow Him, those difficulties, those frustrations will drive us to our knees, into His presence, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Isaac needed God, and the test was driving him on. Number two, Isaac fails a test, but continues on. Now you got to get a load of this. You got to let this live. God from heaven just said to him, I'm giving you the land. You and all your kids, you are so blessed. Whole family of earth is going to be blessed through you. You're my kids. Stick around. Stay in the land. You got everything. Next thing he does is sin. Thanks, Lord. Going my own way now. And what did he do to sin? In these next few verses, I just referred to them, verses 7 through 12, he did the same thing his dad did. Abraham goes into the land, remember, and his wife is so hot, everybody's going to want her for their wife. And so what does Abraham do? Honey, you just let me work this out, okay? We'll keep us alive, but I'm just going to tell people you're my sister. How do you think the wife felt? You what? Going to tell people you're my sister. So he got through that. He got discovered and he got through that. Now listen. Same thing happens for Isaac, the son, 90 years later. A bunch of the guys start gathering around saying, you know, she's really a nice lady. You know, she's a good looking lady. All right, guys, look around the room. No flirting. Say, you're all nice looking ladies. You're all nice looking ladies. Okay, so he says, she's my sister. Now, what you need to understand is with Abraham, it was a half-lie. Because he married half-sister. With Isaac, it was a whole lie. He married a cousin. That's why you shouldn't be marrying your cousins, right? We don't do that anymore. Or else it turned out... No, I won't go there. Anyway, it turned out with a crazy sense of humor. No. All right, so what happens? He fails a test immediately. But God still uses him. Can anybody in this room say with me, thank God for the grace and mercy of the Lord? He's given us his promises, given us his blessings, and yet sometimes, Lord, I sure need the cleansing blood of Jesus and the forgiveness and grace of God. Not just sometimes, how about every day? So that's what happens. So he messes up and we read about it. We find Isaac following this example. And this Abimelech that he's dealing with in the same section of scripture that we're in now is not the same Abimelech that his dad dealt with 90 years later. It's probably a grandson with the same name. They say, most commentaries say that's not a title, where Caesar was a title and Pharaoh was a title. This is probably not a title, but it's a namesake. But he receives the promise of God and then fails. God gives him his mercy. Now look at what the Lord does with him. Verses 12 through 14. Genesis 26, 12 through 14. Then Isaac sowed in that land his seed. And he reaped in the same year, say it with me please, 100-fold. He reaped how much? You remember what year this is? It's a year of fantastic or horrific famine. A year of terrible famine conditions. And Isaac, blessed by God, reaps 100-fold. Verse 13, the man began to prosper and continued prospering until he became very prosperous. You have the idea in that verse that he was a prosperous guy? For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the, say it with me please, Philistines envied him. Now church, I'm going to just do this for a quick moment. I've only taught on giving a couple of times in this church. One of those lessons, or in fact probably both of them, are online. And one of them is about how God owns everything. Now, I can't promise you here this morning 100-fold return, because sometimes as you give to God, He'll bless you with physical healing. He'll bless you with peace. He'll bless you with freedom from anxiety. He'll give you the blessings of His presence. There are some who say, you give 10, God will give you 100. Well, okay, that might work, and it does work, and I know it's worked for folks. But when I look at the Scripture, I see a covenant God who says, if you give back to me, I will bless you. And that comes in a wide variety of ways. How many know, say it with me, God owns everything. I do that again. God owns
everything.
So why do we wrestle with God when He says, give me back the tenth? Because after all, He owns everything. He says, hey, listen, I'll give you back the rest of the 90. And in fact, frankly, you look in the Scriptures in the Old Testament, you'll see that they gave a lot more than 10%. And you come over to the Scripture in the New Testament and people go, oh, that's all Old Covenant. Jesus didn't have to change the doctrine. They fully understood the doctrine. You come to the New Testament where it says, some of you think you give this and this and this, and sure you should do this, but you ought to do it not with a legalistic spirit, but with a heart of love and a heart of surrender to my Father. So God still wants our giving, and He wants it with faith, with a right heart. But He promises blessing. Someone say amen, you're not breathing.
Amen.
I don't even pass a plate in this church. We don't do that. I've had guests and visitors come here many times over the years and they go, you don't even pass a plate. What do? We give our tithes and our offerings here in this church as an act of worship. And there are boxes over to the side that we invite you and the Lord commands you to do whatever He tells you to do. But we believe giving is according to the principle of Scripture. And I don't release blessing in your life as a pastor if I don't remind you about the need to give appropriately to the Lord. Someone say amen or oh no.
Amen.
Someone say that's fun preaching. Okay. In the time of famine, God gave him 100-fold. Don't be surprised when the blessing of God makes you a marked man or woman. I'd like to see a show of hands. Anybody in this room ever been blessed by God? Come on. Ever been blessed by God? Was everybody always happy with your blessing? Did anybody ever get jealous with your blessing? Maybe you got promoted. Maybe God saw to it you got the promotion on the job. And there were other people there for 10 years longer than you, and they got ticked when you got blessed. And other people get jealous because you get the... How come you always get the blessing? How come? Because you surrender to the Lord. Because you're His. So, watch what happens when He's blessed. You'd think He could stand up and give a praise report in the countryside, and it didn't work that way. Verse 14. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants. So the Philistines, what? They were jealous. That word envy in the Hebrew means zealous, jealous, and envious. This kind of jealousy is stupid. How many know most of the time jealousy is stupid? Come on, say it with me. Stupid. Say it something. You're stupid. Stupid is as stupid is. What do they do? They did something stupid. They took all of the wells that his father Abraham had dug, and they claimed them as their own, and they stopped them up. This is huge. They stopped them up because they were jealous. You abide in the presence of the Lord. If somebody doesn't like you while you're being blessed, you still try to love them and give them grace and mercy and treat them with kindness. But some people are out to steal your blessing. Some people don't like it if you get a new car. You get a truck. Some people don't like it if you get blessed on the job. Some people don't like it if your life turns out. You just stand in the presence of the Lord and give love away. But some people do stupid things in their jealousy. The devil wants to shut you down. Say it with me. The devil wants to shut you down. Genesis 26:15-16. Genesis 26:15-16. Now the Philistines, and here's the stupid stuff, had stopped up all the wells with his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. And they had filled them with earth. They filled them with what? And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. You look in the scriptures, and those with the blessing on the Lord, if they allowed them to remain in the community was blessed. The neighborhood's blessed. Your block is blessed because you're there with the presence of God. Your neighbors are blessed because you're there in the presence of God. I'm not trying to say that's arrogance. I'm just saying it's because of Jesus. You bring light, salt and light and good news and grace and mercy to our community. You teach people how to be kind and how to love one another and how not to speak back when somebody attacks you. And by the way, that's not always easy, is it?
No.
Okay, five of you were really honest with me, but it's not always easy. But we also learn how to accept grace and forgiveness. And when we blow it, we apologize. And why? Because the Holy Spirit is working inside. But they stopped up all the wells. Now in the Hebrew, that language means they literally closed them up. They shut them down. They made them hidden. They shut down the wells. They poured sand and dumped earth in these wells. And the commentaries say they took dead, awful carcasses of dead animals, threw them into the wells. Because if I can't have it, you can't have it. It's mine. See how it goes sometimes? Oh no, or oh my, or oh let's leave now. It's just the truth. Jealous. The devil is behind that, stealing life. If I can't have it, we steal it. Literally, you guys, now carefully go there with me. The devil wants to see to it that you have no true source of living water to satisfy your soul. The Bible tells us the devil is a liar, a thief, and a murderer. He wants to lie to you that you don't have the grace of God. He wants to steal from you the gift and presence of God. He wants to murder that life that you have in Jesus. How does he do that? That's a lot of ways. You know, one of the things that's trouble in our age, the devil will be very happy to find idle hands and make you so busy that you don't have time to spend with the Lord. So busy, you don't have time to read the Word. So busy, you don't have time to go to church. So busy that you're in a frenzy and a frazzle and hassled all the time and always uptight and always anxious. And the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. But he wants to spin you around like a top. And you know what he accomplishes when we'll yield to that? We are neutralized from being able to help anybody and being able to help receive the presence of God in our life, to pray, and to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, because the river of God will flow, heal us, and teach us how to reach out and help others. And it takes a hearing ear to do that, but if we're so bound up and frenzied up, we can't hear that. By the way, he also says, they filled the wells with earth. You know what earth stands for in the Bible? Humanity. They filled the well, let's just extrapolate it for today, with self. I'm living for me. You know people like that. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm going to do what I want. I don't want anything to do with that. I don't want anything to do with Jesus. Don't want anything to do with the Word of God. I've been disappointed in my life. He didn't come through for me. So I'm living for me. And so the devil steals away your life and starts dumping earth and self and sand into your well. Are you breathing? How's your well doing this morning? Clean, clear, good, refreshing waters? That's what he wants from us. And there's all sorts of things that we get distracted by. A little more and then I'll go on. You know, you look for something to fill up with if it's not Jesus and his Word. What about that little bit of entertainment? Well, fantastic. My precious friend in the Lord brought an article and was under conviction about something on television full of nudity. And we think, oh, that's fine. Just a little bit's fine. Well, where does the Bible say any of that kind of stuff is fine? In fact, it says don't look on that. And yet our entertainment system says, oh, this is all just fine. And pretty soon we wonder, how come I don't feel so close to the Lord? And a little bit of the occult is fine. And then you wonder, how come I don't feel so close to the Lord? And then you end up with churches in America that have pew backs full of a Bible next to a Quran, because it's all truth, isn't it? No, it's not, church. The Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, we love people. We share with people. We hold out the truth of Jesus to them. Sometimes they don't want anything to do with them. We're not here to hate anybody, but we are here to say truth is in Jesus Christ and in the Scriptures. Come on, someone say amen.
Amen.
As best as we understand, Pastor Sherry's favorite verse, as for me, I get as close to him as I possibly can. I don't try to get as far away from him and still be okay. I try to get as close to him as I can and be okay. You're quiet, but it's true, isn't it? Is your well full of the living water of Jesus or the world? Watch the scripture, Mark 4:19. The cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things entering in, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. Out of the Message version, the same verse says, but we are overwhelmed with worries about all the things they have to do and all the things they want to get. The stress strangles what they heard, and nothing comes of it. And this is a section of scripture where seed was scattered and some of it bears good fruit and some of it dies. And it says the devil comes in and chokes out the word. The stress strangles what they heard. Thank you, Dad. And nothing comes of it. No water in the well. What's the answer? Isaac digs the wells. Say it with me. Isaac digs the wells. Say it. I can dig it. One more time. I can dig it. That flashback to the 60s. I can dig it. Remember that song? Everybody listen to rock and roll. I can dig it. You can dig it. We can dig it. Everybody, you know. That's all I remember that song, thankfully. Isaac digs the wells, verses 17 and 18. Then Isaac departed from there because they wanted him out of the land. Now, you'd think when the blessing of God is there, hey, come live next door. But they said, no. We want you out. So he departs. And he pitches his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again. Say it with me. Isaac dug again. The wells of water which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father. For the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. Isaac had work to do. Say the word work. Isaac had work to do, effort to put in. 2 Timothy 2 verse 14 or 15 says, study to show thyself approved as a workman rightly dividing the word of truth. Study, which literally in the Greek means exercise, effort, and energy. You're going to put yourself to the study of the word of God. That's a holy work to do. And it's good for your soul. Working energetically. You know, when you mine for gold, how many of you understand you just don't walk up outside and on the ground easily pick up nuggets of gold everywhere? You got to work a little harder now, don't you? Now, we're not working to get saved. We're saved by grace through faith in Jesus. But there's an effort that we do to cooperate with the Lord in our own growth. Reading the scripture, being in church, worshiping the Lord. He had to work hard to reopen his dad's wells. He had to go back and dig up again the provisions of life that had been provided for him as a kid. How many know it's not good enough to say my grandfather or my dad or my mom or grandma walked closely to the Lord and I was blessed too? How many know each generation, you and me, each need a personal, intimate relationship with Jesus? Each of us needs that. King David couldn't fight with Saul's armor. You can't fit into something that doesn't fit. You need to find the well of God personally in your own life and drink deeply from Jesus and His Spirit. The Philistines stopped up the wells after Dad died. Can you imagine what they were saying? This kid doesn't know what he's doing. We don't have to worry about him. Dad's gone. Dad put his stuff on us anyway. We don't like that stuff that church stands for. We're jealous. We don't like it. And toss gunk and junk into the well and make it unusable. If the devil can keep you so busy with junk in your well, you're not going to have any life. So guess what? You get to dig out the wells again. Dig out the wells. Every time you come to church, when you worship, when you lift up your hands and you say, Jesus, do a work in me, you're taking some junk out of the well. Every time you open the Bible and say, come on, let's read, even if it's a psalm a day, just one psalm, you're taking some junk out of the well. You're clearing up the flow and you're making sure that water is clean and clear. Every time when you know you're guilty of sin and you say, Jesus, forgive me. I repent. Wash me clean through the blood that you shed for me at Calvary. Because the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. He's the Savior. We come to Him and He washes us clean. And when you do that, you make sure the well is running clear and clean. And the river of God is refreshing and you have life to give away. Anybody want that in your life?
Yes.
Sure. The river of God. To flow in and through. By the way, culturally, so you understand the scripture, this still happens today, all the time. Water is so short over there that when you dig a well, if you get water there, people will come and steal it from you. They'll steal it and say, it's ours. And next week, you're going to find how that contention occurred. Abraham, it sounds silly, but Abraham named the wells. What I'd like you to do in the next week is I want you to spend your time just every day or every other day. I want you to read through the remaining scriptures of Genesis 26. Just read through the rest and we're going to talk about them next week. But Abraham named those wells, and the Bible says Isaac returned his dad's name on those. What does that mean? Very simply, what that means is if you had the right to name them, you were the owner. You were the one in control. And so Abraham's life was anointed by God. He declares the name on them. The whole region buys into the names and they become known as that name. And if there's ever a contention over the title deed for that property, all they have to do is go back and say, well, who named this property? And it was one of the things where they could look at who's the owner, because the name has been there since Abraham. So he redigs these wells and he renames them the names his dad gave them. Let me give you a few simple thoughts as we close. If the devil can steal away your life, your image is in Christ for who you are, your name as Christian, believer. If he can fill you full of shame that you're no good, the blood of Jesus isn't good enough for you, you can never be forgiven by God. You're left to flounder. If the devil can throw on you, you'll never be good enough. Maybe you don't really have what God says you have. Then you flounder, you're neutralized. And the Bible tells us, rebuke the devil and resist the devil, and he, say it with me, church, will flee from you. Take the authority you've been given. Those wells are dug in your life. I'm saved by grace through faith. The Word of God is real, and I believe it. I'm saved, and He lives inside of me, and His Spirit flows in me and through me, and I believe His Word, and I get to go to church, and I get to be a part of the family of God, and I get to leave here today with a river of God flowing in my life, because there's people all around me that are dead and dying and need help, and they need hope, and they need life in Jesus Christ, and I'm saved by grace. I'm redeemed through the blood of the Lamb. Devil, shut up and get out in Jesus' name. Dig a well. Get that well clean. Let the river of living water flow. Reestablish who you are in Him. And ladies, Pastor Sherry taught you a fantastic lesson on having the right selfie in Him. I want you to have all the life that Jesus has for you. I'm going to tell you a story, and then musicians, I'm going to ask you to come. There was a homeless man. They found under a bridge in 10-degree weather in Montana. He had been homeless for quite some time, down on his luck, clothing with holes and holes in his shoes. And when they found him, he simply had a light little jacket on. His body was discovered by children sledding under a Union Pacific Railroad overpass in Evanston, Wyoming. Turns out, he was a long-lost relative of the reclusive and eccentric New York heiress, Hugh Hewitt. You say that. Hugh Hewitt Clark. And he was in line and would have shortly received $19 million of her $300 million fortune. But he died before he could receive it. Church, Jesus wants you to know He has riches for you in His presence. He has forgiveness if you need forgiveness. He has healing if you need healing. He has help. He has hope. He has new life for you. But sometimes we need to get the junk out of the well. So, can you say with me, I can... dig it. Turn to each other. Say it loud. I can dig it. Can you dig it? I can dig it. Say it again. Boom it out. I can dig it. Musicians, will you come? And let's finish with that song about jump, jump, jump into the river of God. Now, if you're here this morning, and the Lord has spoken something to your heart that you need in His presence, There'll be a team of people up here praying for you. I'm going to ask Alan and Shannon to join us in praying for healing. Bill and Jeannie, if you guys will join us in prayer for healing over on this side, and Alan and Shannon over on this side, and any of the rest of the team want to join them too. We're going to believe God for healing and the river of God to flow if you need a fresh sense of God's presence in your life. How many know that you're loved by God? How many know you got more than $19 million to inherit? Amen. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the river of God that flows in us, flows to us, flows through us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the hungry people, thirsty people who are in this room this morning, and that's why they're in the house of God today. Bless each one as they go forward from this place to understand they're rich in Christ, to not be neutralized, but to walk in victory, knowing that the river of God is flowing, healing, and bringing life. Strengthen each one now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You're here this morning and you haven't given your life to Jesus. I urge you, let this be the day you do so. Come on up. There'll be team people here to pray for you as you surrender your life personally to Jesus. If you need healing in your body, there'll be people here to pray for you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance on you and give you peace. Now bless your people as they go forth from this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Have a fantastic day in the Lord.